Houston, Huntsville, Munich, and Scuba. USOS is reporting in for the DPC.
Good morning, Expedition 74 USOS. And according to nationaltoday.com, happy Hamburger Day and Whooping Crane Day, as well as Eid Mubarak to those who celebrate. Houston has a few topics for you. Overnight, we saw an unexpected elevated current signature on the robotic arm's shoulder pitch joint. With that, we have aborted the robotic operations for today while the team investigates. As a result, a few deltas for you. We no longer require the pink no unisolated exercise crew constraints on your timeline. Feel free to abort those. And for your daily summary, we no longer have activity-specific safing in case of a LOAC, and you can ignore the thruster disable events in the ADL at the end of the daily summary.
Okay, we copy Alcosa. Thanks for that report. And we're following along on the emails as well. And I think, I think we've seen some things like this in the past, so certainly no need for panic just yet. But can you remind me if we've seen something similar to what we're seeing now, or if this is something novel?
Hey, Jessica, yeah, it's a little bit out of family of what we've seen in the past with the sustained high currents. But we agree, no panic yet. We'll get you guys more info as we hear about it during Orbit 2. But we all agree, no panic.
Well, Jack is just panicking because he had a hamburger yesterday, and now it's all messed up.
Well, we'll try to make up for it somehow. And, yes, for your awareness, both Fly and Capcom have already volunteered in case we need to do an EVA to go fix this, so... we have put our names in the hat.
Copy. You get a lot of competition up here. Train bus, so,
I sure do. All right, we have two more topics. These ones are for Chris. Chris, we saw your crew note about the location for the north tank. We'll take your suggestion for Tempsto location for now, and we'll reassess later on when we get an ISO on console. So we'll just take your suggestion. And then second, when you get to your firmware load activity, I have a... serial number and location for a cobalt break. You can just call me when you get to that step, and I'll get you that location.
All right, Chris, copy.
That is all from Houston. Huntsville and Munich have no topics for you. We're available for questions and comments, and if none, I'll hand you over to Tommy and Scuba.
Okay, good morning to Huntsville and Munich and Ohio Zabama. Tommy, we're all yours.
Ohio Zabama. Bonjour. Good morning. And one item for Safi for the line item 7 that you are able to find in the ELF activity, storage activity. Other locations for that tool. The first one, it's...
Tommy, thank you very much. I had this information. So CTB5361 or IVA toolkit or CTBJ0057, I looked in all of three and I could not find the toolkit. So I'd appreciate some alternate tools that maybe we can discuss at the beginning of the activity.
That sounds like a plan. We have an alternate tool plan. We'll let you know once the activity starts. Let us know anytime. Okay, any more questions for us?
No more questions for you. Thank you very much. Arigato gozaimasu.
Merci, arigato gozaimasu. Then this concludes the morning DPC, this North Russian side. Have a great day.
Okay, we're looking forward to working with all of you. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. We see you on camera. Just to let you know, safing is in place, so you are go when you get to your step 2.
Perfect. I was just about to call you on that. Sounds great. Yep, I'm stepping into the procedure now, and please follow along. I'm starting in step 2. I've copied go in step 1.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris with a Delta.
Chris is looking on 2 for a Delta.
Hey, Chris, we realize that in step 5 we have you close the panel, and then in the next activity we have you open it again. So you can skip step 5. No need to close out that panel.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Houston, Chris on 2. I know you guys are following along, but I'm done with 3.2.220. Moving on to the next one.
We got it, Chris.
Houston, this is pretty obvious, but we're skipping step 2 of this, skipping us through step 2.4 of this procedure. Because the rack is already open, but just wanted to make sure for absolute clarity.
We concur. 2.4 is what you pick up.
Houston, Chris on 2. I just wanted to double check because the opnom in the procedure doesn't exactly match the naming and the labeling on the cables and in the stow note, but that the SIGI firmware load extension cable assembly is the same thing as the ISS SIGI firmware load cable. Are those the exact same? seems right, but just the names and I guess the opnoms used don't match.
We're checking.
Or is there a different, let me just reread this again and make sure I'm tracking everything properly. Yeah, so the ISS SIGI firmware load cable assembly is just ISS SIGI firmware load.
We concur, Chris, that's the right cable.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I feel like I want to triple check whenever the names aren't like exactly the same.
Yeah, we appreciate you being thorough.
Houston, Chris on two. I think I need a cobalt brick location from you guys.
Okay, you're going to be using cobalt brick number 1429, and that's going to go to UOP3 at the lab one overhead. Papa 2.
See that? Cobalt brick 1429er, UOP3, lab 1, overhead port 2.
Good read, Ben.
Houston, Chris on 2, just to update our records, 1429er is just at lab port 1.
Hey, Chris, just to clarify, are you able to plug that brick over to port 2?
So that cobalt brick is not located at lab overhead port 2. It's located at lab port 1. It should be totally fine. There's no way to put anything else at lab overhead port 2. I don't think it would help us at all. It's, you know, two feet different. It's just, yeah, location coding. It's at lab port 1.
Okay, copy. Yeah, sorry to clarify. We don't want to move the brick. We just want you to plug it in over to the other UOP number 3.
So it is already plugged in, and it goes over to, this cobalt brick is plugged into like a triple splitter cable that's plugged into the same cobalt bricks that the two hypervisors are plugged into. It's plugged into a PS120, which is in lab overhead port 2, PS120 serial number 1013, and that PS120 is plugged into UOP3. Is that what you're expecting?
Okay, thanks for that, Chris. We're good with that config.
Yeah, I think you just want me to power the laptop from this cobalt brick, which I think makes total sense.
That's a good read.
Houston, Chris on 2. Do we care which RRS-422 card we put in? I think the Stone Oak calls out two different serial numbers. Just either one?
Either one's fine.
Copy. Houston, Chris on 2 for step 3.7.
Go ahead for 3.7.
Actually, a really quick one on 3.6. So in 3.6, it says go to off, but both figure 5 and the box show OFP, not OFF, and I think that's the right position. Just wanted to double check that. And then in 3.7, it says the channel Bravo port on the PCM CIA card. Is there a way I'm supposed to be able to identify which is Alpha or Bravo? I see two 9-pin serial adapters attached to this RS-422 card, but I don't see any indication of Alpha or Bravo on them.
Okay, we copy, Chris. For 3.6, yes, you are correct. We keep testing your eyes there, but that was a miss on our part for that procedure. So OFT, what was expected, and we are researching your question for channel Bravo in 3.7.
Copy, yeah. I mean, the RS-422 card splits into two DB9 connectors, but there is no labeling to differentiate them that I can see. Or I should say, Houston, Chris, one says P1, one says P2, but neither of them say Alpha or Bravo.
We copy, Chris. Hey, Chris, sorry for delay. It's going to take another minute. Our photo down here shows an Alpha and Bravo, so we're just trying to get some more info on how we can choose which is the right one.
Sounds good. Yeah, I can kind of show you what we've got here. I don't know if you can talk me onto where I might look for those labeling. The guess would be that Papa 2 is Bravo as opposed to Papa 1, but I'm going to check the other card too to see if that might have a different labeling.
Okay, we appreciate that. We're still collecting info, but yeah, check the other card. Station Houston on 2. Chris, back with you.
Hey, I am with you on 2. I got something for you, but you go ahead.
Okay, we got creative, and based on the orientation of the card, if you look at the laptop, the way it's plugged in, from our analysis down here, the cable that's closer to the hinge or the display is the Bravo side, so you can use that one.
Copy. That makes sense, and that checks with what I see as well here. So if you look at the Stonote, there's actually three different RS-422 cards called out in the Stonote. There's one called out in line 3, and then 2 called out in line 8. So the 2 called out in line 8, which looked like new ones because the connectors were wrapped in bubble wrap, those ones just say P1 and P2, but the other one, which is in a Ziploc bag called the Moot Kit, does have an Alpha and Bravo label on them, and it's a, yeah, so, and that checks with the layout of what you guys just called out. So I'm assuming it's okay to use the one I've gotten, the sort of the new one that's, that I plugged into the laptop, and that was the one from line 8 of the stow note, serial number 5013, but I also have serial number 6010 in my hand, which is labeled Alpha and Bravo.
Okay, that's great data, Chris. Thanks for that. Yeah, we're good with you using the new one that's already installed, and we'll go with that one for now.
Yeah, Chris, I'm too sorry. I missed the end of your last call.
Good with you using the one installed.
Copy all, and would you like me to put an Alpha and a Bravo on the labels of these two?
That sounds good to us. We appreciate the offer.
Copy Wilco, Bravo being the closer to the back laptop hinge one. Houston, Chris on 2 for CD library or DVD library. I'm trying to find the correct CD for the CD upgrade, and I can't quite tell if their stow note should direct me to it or not, but do you happen to know where in this pretty awesome CD case the correct disc is?
That's pretty awesome. Brings back some great memories.
Jessica reports she had the same CD case in 1992.
Yep. I had the same thing, plus the mini version for my car visor. Chris, but to your question, we are searching to see if we can help at all.
Sounds good. I'm also searching, and I, too, had the same mini one in my car.
Table of the CD. So sorry about that, but if you happen to find any good mixtapes, let us know.
Copy that, yeah. And it should say, the label should just say Siggy Upgrade on it. Is that what I'm looking for?
Affirm.
Houston, Chris on 2. I found it, and for future reference, it is in slot 111 of the of this awesome CD library.
All right, awesome. Track 111. We'll add that to notes, hopefully, in IMS. Thank you.
Sounds good, and there's some good stuff in here. It's awesome. Houston, one other quick question for you. It says to put the CD in before I turn on the computer, but you know, this is one of those drives where it won't open unless it's powered or unless I get a paperclip, I think, and stick it in the little hole on the side. Do you want me to open this and put it in first? I assume I need to do that to boot up off the CD. Or is it okay to just power it on, open it up, put the disk in, and then restart it?
Okay, Chris, go ahead and power on the laptop, put the CD in, and then reboot the laptop.
Copy and we'll go. Houston, Chris on 2. We are complete with step 4.1. Windows XP has booted. I am in full nostalgia mode, and we are complete with step 4.1, ready for GPS power on.
I'm trying to remember what the startup ding sound was for Windows XP, but sounds great. We'll put that in work. Thank you. Station Houston, GPS is powered on. Your go to pick up in step 4.3.
Copy. Go to proceed in step 4.3. Houston, just to confirm, so we powered up this laptop, but we didn't open any programs or do anything on it. You powered up the GPS, and in 4.3.1 it says close all programs, but I'm not expecting any programs to be open, and I'm just shutting it down. I just wanted to make sure that's the correct sequence.
Yep, we understand no programs are open. You are go to shut down the laptop.
Copy all. And station Jack's on 2 for respiratory support pack.
Hey, Jack, good to hear from you. Go ahead.
To hear from you too, respiratory support pack serial number 1004 has a successful checkout and is being placed into overhead 5D1 is our new respiratory support pack, and the old one, serial number 1002, is double wrapped for return.
We appreciate it.
Houston, Chris on 2 for step 4.4.
Go for 4.4.
Yeah, so I am following the sequence here in step 4.4. I opened up the Siggy Load program. I entered device number 1. I entered ISS029 as the file name. And then it said loading address 9000000, computed file length 249676. And then it said timeout, waiting to send reprogram control. Please hit escape to exit. So I didn't get the what I would have expected in Figure 12. Looks like something didn't connect properly.
We copy all, second. Hey, Chris, can we have you double check something in step 4, decimal 3, decimal 4? Can you confirm you connected the alpha table there as in what's shown in figure 8?
I affirm we are connected on the alpha cable. So I see this blue cable from 1553 card. I see an A next to the connector, and I see that connected to Papa 5 on this SIGGY programming cable.
Okay, thanks for the confirmation. Stand by. And Station Heath and Chris, our experts are still talking about it, trying to look for options, so give us another few minutes.
Sounds good, and totally happy to double-check any of the connections or sequences that I've done if that would be helpful for diagnosing. Seems like I just reread the procedure, though. I think I did everything in order and per procedure.
Okay, Chris, yeah, we saw you checking the connection, so we appreciate that. So as long as you confirm it as you expect for figure 8, then that makes sense. The only other thing to check would be the that switch on the OFP in figure 5. Just make sure it didn't get bumped for any reason.
Yep, that switch is still in OFP.
Okay, thanks for double-checking. We'll keep thinking.
I guess one question, Houston, is that in step 4.3.2, I ejected the RS422 card. And so that card is not inserted into the computer at all, and I just wanted to make sure that's correct. You know, based on figure 8, I can't quite tell exactly how that... But that's just floating right now and not connected to anything.
Okay, Chris, yeah, we copy. We understand that's expected for it to be disconnected and loose. In the next step, in 4.3.4, you inserted a new card into the laptop, so that's the expected config.
Okay, yeah, just wanted to make sure.
Station Houston on T for Chris. We are approaching a two-minute LOS, so we've got about another minimum of 3 to 4 minutes before we maybe have an answer for you, so... Feel free to take a break. Some of us will step off for the two-minute LOS.
Okay, copy. Wilco. And, yeah, I'm just trying to look over the procedures a little bit and understand a little bit more. I am a little bit confused as to why this OFP switch would matter if the like serial connection that it's in line with is not plugged into anything. That seems strange to me. But, I'll go take a break and come back in a few minutes. And, just let me know if there's anything else you need me to double-check.
Sounds good.
And Houston, one more thing to offer before the LOS. I'm happy if it makes sense to just retry the loading process and see if I get the same error on a second time. But I'll hold off unless you tell me to.
Yeah, I understand, Chris. Hold off for now. We'll get back to you.
Abiel?
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and GPS troubleshoot. Station Houston on 2 for Chris and GPS next steps.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris, we have a troubleshooting thing. Step we'd like to have you try. Big picture, we think that perhaps... the computer may be confused about which device is number 1. To fix that, we'd like you to jump ahead to step 8, decimal 5, perform that as written to select the device number if needed, and then jump back and repeat 4, decimal 4 and see if
that works. Copy. Jump ahead to 8, decimal 5, and then hop back to 4, decimal 4. So we're going to just big picture. We're checking that we've got the right device for the card and the GPS programming. So I'll check that and execute and let you know how it goes.
Good copy. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2 for step 8, decimal 5.
We're with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I opened up the card manager software, and in there I do see only one device, and it is showing as device number 1. The device name that I'm seeing is the Bravo Uniform 65550Mike2-605. It's showing device number 1, device location card socket 0, and then it's a PCMCIA card, and the device is ready. So it looks like it is showing it properly as device 1. And my reading of step 8 decimal 5 is that if I open that up and it only shows it as device 1 and 1 card, then I should just jump to 857 and close. But wanted to check if there's anything else you wanted me to do while I'm here.
Okay, Chris, we agree. No further action for that one. You can close it out. We're talking about it.
Copy all. Closing it out and holding it here.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and forward plan.
Get on 2.
Okay, Chris, we went back and forth. We really don't think repeating step 4.4 is going to work. So we don't mind if you want to try it, but we don't think there's going to be success there. So the next option is to try a different fault tech card. And so we'd be picking back up in step 3.3 and installing one of the other ones you found, maybe that older one that had the Alpha and Bravo labels on it. We have seen this on the ground where it takes several cards for it to work, which is why we had you gather three of them. So that's kind of our leading theory there.
Okay, copy. Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. I just retried 4.4 while we were talking, and same results. So that closes that chapter. I think we can try another card. So my understanding then is that I will power down the laptop, and we'll basically go back to step. We'll go back to step three, basically, and start over again from there with a different card. Is that correct?
Yep, that's a good understanding, Chris. We are currently powering down the GPS, so just give us a moment if you want to start gathering the card, and we'll let you know when the GPS is powered down, and you can pick up in step three.
Copy all, yep. I will grab, so we have these sort of two new cards that, I didn't have the channel labels on them and that sort of thing, and then there was one older card in a different bag that did have, Channel Alpha Bravo labeled on it. I guess I'll probably try with that older card and see what happens.
That's what we're thinking, too, so we'll go with that. Station Houston on 2, Chris, GPS 2 is off. You are go to proceed.
Copy, go to proceed. And one other quick thing for you. So the card that's currently in there is the 1553 card serial number 5003. It is this Ziploc bag that also has the other RS-422 card. It does look like there's another 1553 card in here, serial number 5007, in case, for troubleshooting in the future, we could try that, potentially. I just want to let you know. But I'm going to go ahead and shut down the laptop, put in RS-422 card, serial number 6010, and give that a try.
Copy all.
Houston, Chris on 2. Just wanted to double check, but I should have... I should reconnect Juliet 3 on the Figgy before proceeding and booting up the laptop. Is that correct?
For checking, Chris. And Chris, disregard, standby. Okay, Chris, back with you. Yeah, good catch. We need you to reconnect that cable. Thanks for the catch.
Yeah, sure thing. Okay, Houston, Chris on 2. So we've got the RS-422 card FN-6010 plugged in the lower... PCMCIA card slot. We've got channel Bravo hooked up to the RS-422 Papa 4 cable on the Figgy adapter. We've got firmware load switch in the OFP position, and that's connected to Juliet 2 on the Figgy. Everything else is connected, so I'm going to power up the laptop and boot it up again. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
We are following. That's a good setup. Picking up in step four.
It's been Chris on 2. So I powered on the computer and did F12 to select a boot device. And in the prior times I've done this, it's popped up a menu pretty quickly with the different options for boot devices. This time it seems to be hanging with a black screen. My inclination is I should just give the computer a reboot and try it one more time, but wanted to check with you first.
Chris, we agree with that plan. We're watching on video and felt the suspense of the black screen, but we agree. Copy, thumbs up. We see it.
Yeah, must have just gotten really unhappy on that last reboot, so fingers crossed this will work better this time. In Houston, Chris on 2, I'm just sort of thinking out loud. I'm wondering, after it boots this time, is it worth executing the program from 8.5 to make sure that it's, properly seeing the card and that sort of thing that we've inserted this time? If this RS-422 card may be the questionable thing.
Nice idea, Chris. Unfortunately, that applies to the other card, not this card, so no benefit to doing it now.
Okay, copy all. Houston, Chris on 2. Looks like we're booted up, so I'm complete with step 4.1, ready for a GPS power on.
We copy. We'll put that in work.
Copy. Go. Continuing in step 4.3.
Houston Station, checks on 2 for A-RED inspection.
Go ahead, Jack.
Step 2.4, trying to take a picture of figure 2. But in the configuration that I think it wants me set in with the rack full forward, or the rack, I think on the lower stops, the slide is full forward, and that base area that it wants me to take a picture of is not visible. I just want to make sure I'm in the correct configuration and and exactly how I should get a visual of that base section, figure two.
We understand the question. Give it a second.
Houston, Chris on two. Unfortunately, no joy. Same timeout in step 4.4.
Copy, Chris. Okay, Station Chief in for Chris, back with you. Going to give you our forward plan. It's unfortunate that it didn't work. So our plan.
Chris is ready to copy the forward plan.
Yeah, Chris. So we're going to go ahead and proceed with the procedure. So the ground team is working step 4.5 to power down GPS. When that's complete, we'll give you the go to pick up in step 5. Big picture, what this is doing is loading different parts of the firmware throughout the procedure. So we're just going to skip this first part and try the next few, see if those work. And then at the end of the procedure, we'll check if anything's corrupted.
Okay, yeah, copy all. I'll stand by and then wait for your go to proceed in step 5. Thanks for the big picture. That helps.
Station Jack's on at 2. I figured out my issue and I'm able to proceed. Thanks.
We love it. Thanks, Jack. Station Chief on 2 for Chris. GPS is off. You go for step 5.
Copy. Go for step 5. Picking up and step 5.1.1.
Houston Station on 2 for POVS.
Go ahead for PAO.
So sorry, I'm getting into my Columbus activity, but I was just looking ahead at the timeline, and my PAO event later today is scheduled for the airlock, and I think most of you are familiar with the state of the airlock right now. There's, like, not even space to move. It's all full of really large North tanks and CTVs, big CTVs in the airlock, as well as the crew lock. Obviously, there's no great place right now. I would still suggest doing it in the gem. If so, I'd probably just have to move at least one of the NORS tanks temporarily. Columbus is not an option because Sophie will be doing her E4D activities at that same time. And, you know, the lab we usually try to avoid since it's kind of right in the way of everybody. But I guess I would suggest gem. Otherwise, I can make the lab work if necessary because most people will be pretty tied up doing other things.
All right. We copy, Jessica. Thanks. We agree with your plan. We'll double-check with folks later, but we think that's a good way to assume for now.
Okay, so we'll assume gem for now. Otherwise, if we decide lab's a better option, I'll let you guys know. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2, complete with step 5.2, ready for GPS power on.
Copy. We're putting that in work. Station Houston on 2 for Chris. You have a go in 5.4.
Copy. Go in.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. Sorry, I walked into a handover. If you said something to us, we missed it.
Yeah, so the verification step in 5.4 fails. I've seen no change in the display. It's still looking for a still trying to establish communication. So, I do not think it is seeing a powered up GPS.
Okay, Chris, this is not what we want, but it is what we were expecting. So we are now trying to come up with what the forward plan for this activity is.
Okay, copy all. I will stand by.
And Chris, just for big picture, based on this and the previous issue, it's looking like we're not getting a good connection. So that's why we weren't expecting this to work, but we figured we'd try anyways. So wanted you to have the big picture.
Copy all, yeah, appreciate it. I guess like this is not a happy GPS.
Station Chief in on 2 for Chris. Wanted to give you what we're thinking for our forward plan. We see you grabbed another GPS, so you're thinking like us. But first, we're going to have you try to disconnect and remate the J2 connector on GPS2. However, we need to power down the GPS, which is in work, so we'll let you know when that's done.
Okay, yeah, copy all. So I'll wait for GPS2 powered down, and then I'll try to disconnect and reconnect J2. Do you want me to power off the laptop at all for this?
And Chris, no need to power off the laptop. And of course, as you when we get you to do the mate, let us know if you notice anything loose or anything funky with that connection. But please stand by while we power down GPS.
Copy all and standing by.
Control station on 2 for spaceport computer.
Good morning. We are here on 2. That's a good view on the downlink, and you have a go in step 1.1 and 1.5.
Copy your goes in 1.1 and 1.5. Thank you.
Station Houston 2 for Chris. GPS2 is off. Your go to D-mate and mate J2.
Copy go to D-mate and remate 2 on the radio.
Pencil station on 2 for spaceborne computer.
We are with you on 2. Go ahead.
Just checking, those switches were both already off and all LEDs off, of course. Were you expecting that? It's written as if I should actually perform the action.
Jessica, that was expected.
All right, copy, thanks.
And Chris on 2, no issues. Juliet 2 seemed firmly fully mated. I demated it and remated it.
Okay, Chris, we copy. Stand by while we power it on and see what happens.
Copy all.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and GPS.
Be on 2.
Hey, Chris, GPS is power back on. We can't tell from the video, but please see if you have the prompt expected in 5.4.
Yeah, unfortunately, no change in the Flash 32 program, so still trying to establish COM1 connection communications.
All right, Chris, thanks for the zoom in. This is going to end our attempt on this GPS. So we're going to start working a plan to R&R the other GPS. We are coming up with the exact steps for powering down the laptop, disconnecting everything, and in the meantime, powering down this GPS. So give us a few minutes to get organized, but that's the big picture.
Sounds great. I'll go finish my coffee and be ready to copy some steps and get the R&R in work after that. Sounds good. Take our moment of silence for Figgy number 13 and get ready to celebrate with Figgy 11.
RIP. We appreciate it.
I'm Civil Station on 2 for Spaceport.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't see a step to close the EL-4000 server door, but I assumed I should close it before I slide that tray back in. Let me know if I'm missing something there. I'm not quite sure what's coming in the next activity, so maybe it'll make more sense when I open that.
And Jessica, in the next activity, you'll actually be removing the entire locker, and you did not miss anything. You were supposed to close that.
Okay, copy. But sorry, you said I was supposed to close that, or I wasn't?
Apologies. Affirm, the server door is supposed to be closed. So you did the correct step.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and GPS.
This is on 2.
All right, Chris, hope you got a good pick-me-up with your coffee. We have the forward plan. So first things first, we need to remove that CD and put it back in the nostalgic finder in slot 111 where you found it. From there, you can go to the end of this procedure and pick up in steps 13.3 through 13.5 to disconnect the equipment. Put all those cards and cables back where you found them, and then you can pick up with the R&R activity you did this morning using the new box. One additional request we ask is that when you get to the point where you disconnect the cables from the current dead box, if you can take photos of both the box side and the cable side for the ISS so that we can just collect data, make sure there's no issues with those connections.
Copy that. I'm going to remove the CD and put it back in slot 111. I'm going to execute 13.3 to 13.5. A big picture of those is that I'm basically just tearing down, disconnecting all of the cables and things. When I do disconnect the cables from the GPS, I'll get a picture of both the GPS side and the ISS side. And then we'll be picking up in my previous R&R procedure to insert GPS 11 in the place of 13. Is that a good copy?
Chris, just, mostly good readback. Just one clarification, the 13.3 to 13.5, that's actually only disconnecting the power from the laptop. You're going to disconnect the cables from the GPS in your R&R procedure, which means the photos will come after step 3.5.
Okay, copy. So I'll leave the laptop PC cards and stuff connected until I get to that point. Houston, Chris, I just wanted to double check. 13.3 just has me powering down the cobalt brick. I assume I should shut down the laptop first.
Chris, we're just missing a few steps for you to remove all the cables. Let us get the right steps for you.
Okay, copy all. And I mean, if it's just shut down the laptop, take out the PC card, disconnect them, and disconnect Juliet 2, and reconnect the prior firmware cable, I think that's all pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we understand, Chris. We just want to make sure we don't miss something. So give us another minute, please, and we'll get you a clean store.
Sure thing.
Okay, Chris, apologize for that. So really the steps we need are picking up in step 9. That has you power down the laptop, eject the CD, and disconnect all those cables, put those away. Then you can do step 13.3 through 13.5, then move over to the R&R procedure. About halfway through that procedure, you'll see the right time to take photos. We are tracking step 3.5.
Okay, yep, that makes sense. So 9 and then 13.3 and 13.5, and then over to the R&R procedure. Copy all. Houston, Chris on 2. I think we are in a slightly different configuration than Step 9 assumes, but I think it's pretty clear I just need to disconnect all of the, like, the PC card cables and that sort of thing and stow them back away. Want to make sure that's okay.
That's okay, Chris. Yep, you understand the big picture.
Console station on 2 for Spaceborne.
With the N2 for Spaceborne, go ahead.
The Stormo just says to put the CPU cartridge in JLP1A2 Golf. I'm assuming I should put it in the ESD bubble wrap bag since it's a piece of electronics.
And Jessica, it is actually not necessary, but if you'd like to, you can.
Okay, copy. Yeah, I think that'll be easier to stow, and if I label it that way, it'll be easier for people to know what it is. So I am putting it in the ESD bubble wrap bag labeled SDC2 CPU cartridge.
Copy all. We like that plan. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2 for stowage. I just wanted to double check we're tracking where everything goes properly. I don't think my stowout has all the different bags laid out on it, but I have an RS422 card, serial number 6010, which I believe I got from a Ziploc bag labeled Moot Kit, M-O-O-T Kit, and that's where I put that one. And then I have a 1553 card, serial number 5003, and I'm trying to make sure I put that back in exactly the right place. I think that came from the bag that is labeled Siggy Contingency.
Chris, let's go ahead and put those in the bags that you just called out, and we will update our IMS to match.
Copy all. And also in that Siggy Contingency bag is going to go that extension cable, cable assembly ISS Siggy firmware load, serial number 002.
Copy.
Consultation on 2 for Spaceport.
Go ahead on 2.
Yeah, just so I understand the big picture here, is this Spaceborne computer going to be the only thing in this 8.0? Because obviously an 8.0 has a lot more room than this. And then the other question is, since we have a lot of that gray flat foam that's used for packing to send things up here, I think it would be probably better and also really help our bubble wrap reserves if I just put those, I kind of like made a foam box with that gray foam instead of using bubble wrap for something like this. Would that be okay with you guys?
We copy your questions. We're checking.
All right, thanks. And to clarify, I do think that the gray foam would actually protect the unit better than bubble wrap in this case.
Copy. And appreciate that extra information. Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jessica and Spaceborne Computers.
Go ahead on 2.
So we are good with your plan to use the foam. That works for us, and we wanted to let you know that that 8.0 will also be getting filled in your following Dragon Cargo Ops activity.
Okay, that all makes sense then. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2. I finished breaking down the firmware reload setup and am now moving on to the R&R.
We copy. We're following along. And just a quick check, did the CD come out of the laptop?
Verm, it's in slot 111.
Awesome, thanks.
Houston, Chris on 2. Just to double check and confirm that we are good in step 2 of the R&R. I wanted to confirm that I should be installing Siggy GPS serial number 11 in place of serial number 13, which is currently installed.
Chris, those are all good words. Taping is in place, and those are good serial numbers.
Copy that, and I will get pictures as I remove the connectors.
We appreciate it.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2-4 Jack. No response required. We know you're probably already right in front of the ham radio powering it up for your ham pass, but this is your reminder that your ham pass has a rise time of 11:24.
Houston, Chris on 2. The GPS R&R is complete, and Siggy 11 has been installed.
Amazing job, Chris. Really appreciate all the work. One final thing for this activity. Can you make sure with all the swapping we did that we've got the right labeling on the foam of those two degraded boxes? And just let us know what you have on those so we can update IMS.
Okay, yep, copy. Yeah, I still have that left to do. I did want to ask how you wanted me to label that. I mean, the procedure says, you know, to put the removed date on it. Did you want me to just put removed, you know, GNC 148 on both of those boxes? Or did you have a different nomenclature you'd want me to put on there?
Yeah, Chris, let's go ahead and put today's date for both of those boxes and the serial number on the outside of those, and that'll be good.
Copy all. And then one other quick question for you. This procedure was XTP'd, and it implied that I may have to remove the AQM in order to access this panel. Are we expecting there to be an air quality monitor, like, in this area? Because I don't think there is one.
Yeah, Chris, that's old news. We don't have AQMs up there, but thanks for the note. We'll make sure we update the procedure next time we ever try this.
Yeah, no, I was just confused because it looked like it was XTP'd in to say to remove that, so I figured I would just make sure we didn't have a disagreement in our expectations. Thank you. Houston, Chris on 2. I got those old GPS's labeled, and I just want to double check. I put everything back in this gathered 3.0 CTV on lab deck 1. Just wanted to confirm we'd be doing a restow at some point later, and then they should remain here.
Copy, Chris. Thanks for the work. The restow is on the schedule for tomorrow. So with that, we see you complete, and you can move on to your next activity. Thanks for all the help.
Copy all. Thank you, guys. Now, how is this new GPS looking?
And Chris, we're still working to power it up, so we'll let you know as soon as we get some data from it. And one additional thing, I know you temp stowed that north tank out of the way. If you can put it back where you found it for tracking purposes, that'll be appreciated.
Yep, I'm going to bring it back in a few minutes. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for SUPSA.
We're with you on 2, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, I am just getting started in this task. The lab cam 2 is set up. You're welcome on board. Let me know if you'd like the view.
And Chris, that is a good field of view. You're also go in step 3.1, and for the rest of the activity, we'll move over to space ground 4. But also just wanted to let you know that when we talked to our engineering team about your plan, they said it was the perfect idea, and they couldn't have come up with anything better themselves, so I'm pretty sure you get bragging rights for the rest of the day for that.
I love it. Heading over to 4, and I appreciate the engineering team's giving me a little ego boost. So thanks for that, and copy a go in step 3.10. 3.1, sorry. 3.1, go.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2 for National Hamburger Day.
Jack, go ahead for hamburgers.
And did you hear about the hamburger that applied to be a flight controller?
I didn't.
He didn't make the last cut, unfortunately. He was behind, and I was playing catch-up to all the great flight controllers we already have.
Love it. You just set the bar. All right.
Jessica Houston on 2 for PAO event upcoming.
And on 2.
Hey, Jessica. We just wanted to pass you a message that you're good to go for the gem for the PAO event this afternoon.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, to do that, then I'll have to temporarily stow at least one of the north tanks. I'll just move it somewhere and then put it back after the event. Regarding the timeline, I still wanted to ask about this activity to have a conference about WHC foot restraint. It basically has me removing what's called a suspect foot restraint and replacing it with a new one. However, we're not sure where this came from. Maybe it came from a previous crew. We have no problem with the current config. We like the foot restraints that are in there, so we don't think that activity is necessary.
Okay, copy that on the WHC foot restraints request. We'll double-check the requirements, and we'll let you know.
Okay, copy. Thanks. And while I have you there, I have 4 LEDs, full bars, on the AEB battery, serial number 1031.
Copy that. Beam me copies, and we can dump the activity for the foot restraints as well. If you guys are happy with it, we're happy with it.
All right, copy, thanks. Houston Station on 2 for AED inspection, full battery level, all bars present on the AED as well.
Houston copies all. That's a good report from our perspective. Thank you.
Scuba Station on 2. The GEM Cam 2 is set up with a view of Frost and a question about the next activity.
Hi, Chris. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I see in the next activity, it's having me put on like full PPE, like goggles, dust mask, and silver shield gloves. But it doesn't look like we're opening up Frost at all. And my understanding is that the outside of Frost is totally okay and clean, and that we're only worried about the inside of Frost. Do I need that PPE for putting it in bags? I feel very comfortable not without.
And of course, thank you for checking. Negative, you don't need to wear PPEs as long as the set configuration. Thank you very much for checking.
Sorry, can you say again for Chris on two?
Sorry about that. I meant there's no need to wear PPEs.
Okay, copy. Yeah, no need for PPE. Copy that. And if it works for you guys, I'm going to start gathering the materials and get started in this activity.
Copy that. Thank you. Station, it's Cuba on Spaceland 2 for Chris for frost isolation for PPEs.
Cuba, Chris on 2.
Chris, my apologies. One, go back for the PPEs. We discussed down here at Scuba and Houston. It turned out we need you to wear PPEs because the particles may liberate from the frost itself once you start to move it around. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If that's what we feel, I'm happy to do it. I think the team on board feels pretty confident it's all in inside, and we clean the outside pretty well. But I'm happy to do it. And I just wanted to double check, do I need Silver Shield, or is Nitrile okay?
Chris, that is affirmative.
Okay. Silver Shield, love it is. All right. I will gather those and get started.
Stations, good on Spaceland 2 for Chris. Just one clarification, but no rush.
Houston, Station, Jackson 2 for OCT.
Jack, Houston is with you on 2 for OCT. What's up?
Hey, OCT setup, and SSC-17 is available for VME setup.
Okay, we copy that. Additionally, I want to let you know that Orbit 2 relishes the hamburger jokes. How can you tell if a hamburger was grilled in space? It's a little meteor.
I don't know. How can you tell that a hamburger... does it have rocket lettuce?
Rocket lettuce.
You give up. How can you tell that a hamburger was made in space?
Jack, it's a little meteor.
Well, Jessica has some thoughts, but she can share them at her own discretion. And we love the jokes, and any hamburger with a good pun bun is awesome with us.
Like I said, we relish it, man.
I think you guys are truly in rare form.
Well done, well done.
Cuba, Chris on 2. I think you'd called for me earlier. I just wanted to check in and also to see if frost has been deactivated.
If the frost has been deactivated and you're good to go anytime, and just a piece of info, the PPE is... should be donned until the first layer is covered, and from the second layer, you don't have to don PPEs.
Copy all. Thank you.
In Station Skidon Space Run 2 for Chris at your convenience, for the Delta for the steps.
Go ahead for Chris.
Yeah, Chris, in step 4, you take care about the antenna on the frost, but actually, we'd like you to unscrew the antenna counterclockwise and remove and put the antenna to the body of the frost to secure the antenna itself.
That makes a lot of sense. I will do that. And then just to confirm, I'm not disconnecting the power cable, and so I can't really fully seal the bag because the power cable is going to come out of the bag. Is that the correct understanding?
That is a good understanding. And each time you put the cover on, the bag on, we'd like you to tape up the around the cable so it can seal completely between the cable, power cable and the bag. And each time when you put the bag on.
Copy. Understand.
Yeah, thank you for understanding.
Houston Station on 2 for
StoTrack. Jessica, Houston and ISO are with you on 2 for StoTrack.
Hey, Kenny, a couple of items for you. I am in step 113.04. I have pump separator, and I am reporting to you on space to ground that I have pump.
Jessica, that was a little broken. We didn't hear you through the mic there.
I'm in step 13.04, and I am reporting to you on space to ground for the step that I have pump separator serial number 2403068.
Copy that, Jessica. That is a good serial number.
All right, copy. And then I just wanted to let you know for the next item, 113.05, that item was not found where it was supposed to be. It was said it was in the 1.05573 in that location. I did find EATCF supply in that location, but it was a different serial number. It was 001017. So I kept looking in that locker, and there were a couple Ziplocs that were not in the CTB that were also labeled Aris, and I did find it in one of those Ziplocs. So I just wanted to let you know, I was assuming that the Ziplocs were supposed to have been put in that CTB. There were two of them, and I put the rest of the items that were remaining in that CTB 5573. There were other TCS lines, like return and supply and vacuum lines, and then there was one that also had some power cables in it. Put both of those Ziplocs in that 1.05573.
Roger that, Jessica. You're good to press. We are going to take a minute and go through your report there, and we'll let you know if we have any go-backs for you.
Okay, copy. I just wanted to, I guess, make sure that you do want 1016 sent back and not the one that was in that CTV, just making sure I'm going by the correct serial numbers. That's how I was trained. So let me know if you want anything other than 1016.
Roger. The correct serial number is the way to go.
All right. Copy.
Wait. Thank you.
Station Tacoma, Space Command 2 for Chris, one last favor.
Chris is with you on 2.
Yeah, Chris, as for the Ethernet cable, is it okay? Great if you could coil it up and put on the aft side wall. Copy.
Yep, absolutely. Will do.
Thank you very much.
Stand station Jax on 2 for cargo, step 115.
Yeah, Houston is with you on step 115. What you got for cargo?
I'm on sub-step 4. The 2.0 CTB serial number 4080 is not in node 1, deck 1. I checked in node 1 overhead as well, and then I did a quick check of the 2.0s that are in the airlock. And didn't see it there either. Thinking or hoping that you guys might have a suggestion of where it might be.
Copy that, Jack. We will have a look and see if we can find the thing for you.
Thank you, sir.
No trouble. Jack, Houston on Space to Ground 2 for that missing CTB 4080 that was supposed to be at Node 1, Deck 1.
Sir.
Hey, Jack. We think we would like to have you try Node 2 forward end cone for that missing 2.0 CB there in step 115.04.
Yeah, I'll have a look. Thanks.
Roger, let us know if you find it.
Nick from Sophium 2 for step and decimal 4.
Sophie, Munich back with you on 2. Yeah, we had a short KU LOS. So, yep, definitely go 10 decimal 4 and we can move to space to ground 3 again.
Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Chris and upcoming PWD outage.
Go ahead, on 2 for Chris.
Hey, Chris, this is the last call for PWD use. We're about to send some commands to take it down. Just want to make sure you guys are stocked up if need be. Let us know when you're ready.
Absolutely. We'd sure be in a pickle if we didn't have any water up here. But let us go and check and see what we can find out.
Nice.
Denny, while we have you, I'm going to give you a stowage question.
Water.
I am in step 113. Well, all of 113, really, because the step references everything that's in there.
Copy, Jessica, with you in
and
step 113.
Basically, those items will definitely not fit in. So basically, those items will definitely not fit in this 8.0 the way they're currently packed and the way that the constraint image recommends. I can kind of walk you through it and see what you think is best. I'm looking at the constraint image, and it shows where the various ORUs should go, but it's certainly not to scale. The fluids ISIS drawer is almost the width of that 8.0, so there's no way. Well, first of all, it won't fit below the panel because the spaceport computer, like we talked about earlier, I packed it with the gray foam instead of bubble wrap, so it's probably a couple inches wider or taller in this case than expected, so I would have to take off the foam. If I took off the foam from the sides of that,
I think I could maybe squeeze in the ISIS drawer on top of it, for that, the way the diagram shows. And I would think that it would be okay without padding on the sides, because it has, of course, the bubble wrap from the ISIS drawer above it. But the pump separator will definitely not fit next to the ISIS drawer, because the ISIS drawer is too wide. The pump separator, however, could fit where the mod temp CCS supply is. I'm not sure why that item looks like it's occupying so much space. All it is a very small hose, TCS hose, so that's like a really small item. I'm a little bit confused as to why it was referenced that way in the diagram. So the pump separator could go there, but I think it might be protruding beyond the proximity of where the lid should end. It might be too fat, like, in that case. But looking for your guidance there, it's definitely not going to fit as is.
Checking.
And Denny, happy to let you guys think about that for a while, and I can return to this later on this evening, because I'm going to be getting prepped for this PAO event coming up. I was kind of getting ahead with this cargo anyway. So I have all the items temp stowed down there, but either we need to really take off foam and or reposition items, and the pump separator is kind of questionable in the new location.
Copy that, Jessica. We'll work on a story, and we'll seek to catch you on the other side of the PAO. Thanks for the data. We appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
Houston Station 2, we are good on water. Thank you.
Roger that. Let us move on.
I absolutely relish your jokes.
We appreciate it. Cheers.
Houston Station, looking for go to power off OCT.
Jack Houston, you are go to power off OCT.
Power off OCT. Houston Station, Jack's on 2 for WHC Stone Oak.
Jack, we're pulling Stone Oak. What you got?
In lines 4 through 10, I was unable to find a 1.0 CTV 5333 in node 3 overhead 2. I found two other 1.0 CTVs that were labeled urine receptacle insert filter. One was serial number 1032, and the other was 5029. But neither of them have these flex hoses that are listed as the item names inside of them. We're looking for some guts.
Roger, we'll look for those and let you know if we can find those flex hoses.
We'll find the CTV. Thanks.
Stand station, tracks on to, we actually found the CTV behind the standoff. Thanks.
Roger that. And a quick question, are you guys all good for the PWD?
Yes, we are go to be down for CTV.
Roger, what's that? But I think I personally missed it. Whoops. Moving on.
Because communications can get lost in his puns, it's very understandable.
Totally understand.
Houston station on 2 for water transfer.
And 3, Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
So I'm ready for what's happening. I have a getaway number 1551, and this is Imkis.
Okay, copy that, Andre. That's a good serial number. In step 3.2, we're showing the offload time as 30 minutes, and you are go in step 3.3.
All right, thanks. Copy all.
Thank you. Spicy Bill.
Station on 2 for PAO event.
Hey, Jessica. Houston's with you on 2 for the PAO event.
All right, you ready for a scene of voice?
Copy, Jessica. We're getting you routed now. Stand by. Jessica Houston, Space to Ground 2. We are ready for scene invoice. Jessica Houston, back with you on 2. Good scene invoice. Thank you. Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Houston, this is Station. I'm ready for the event.
Houston ACR, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Station for a voice check.
Station, this is Houston ACR. How do you hear me?
I've got you loud and clear. How do you hear me?
I have you loud and clear. Please stand by for opening remarks.
I have you loud and clear. Please stand by for opening remarks.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Here at the Cradle of Aviation Museum here on Long Island, is thrilled to be part of this morning's downlink. I'm Andy Parton, president of the Cradle, and we've got a theater full of exciting kids busting at the seams. As you may know, Long Island's legacy in space started with the Apollo program. In fact, every lunar module that took us to the moon was built just 15 miles from where I'm standing. So today is another exciting moment for Long Island to be speaking with you today. Now, here's our first question.
Hi, my name is Rowan, and my question is, astronauts talk about something called the overview effect when they see Earth from space. Does that happen to you, and do you think it will affect the way you live your life on Earth?
Yes, the overview effect is certainly something real, and I know that it affects most astronauts, sometimes in pretty similar ways. I think the first thing that astronauts really appreciate is how incredibly gorgeous and special our planet is, but also how fragile it is. You look back at the Earth, and there's this tiny little thin band of the atmosphere. And as you probably know, it's that atmosphere that's the only thing that supports all life on Earth. So it makes us realize, when we have that privilege to look down and see the Earth from above, how special our planet is and how we really all must do our part to try and protect it. It also shows us how insignificant it is in the grand scheme of the universe, just this one small, pale blue dot in the blackness of space. And I think that gives us some good perspective about how we approach all different things in life.
Hi, my name is Amelia, and my question is, what is something you miss from Earth and something you love about space?
Well, something that I miss very, very much is my daughter. I have a 3-year-old daughter at home, and just like if you were in space, I'm sure you would miss your parents and they would miss you. I miss her very, very much. Something I love about space is just being in microgravity all the time, when I can just do this with absolutely no effort, spin around in a somersault, I can shoot off down the module. Being in weightlessness is so much fun, and the views are absolutely incredible.
Hi, my name is Kendra, and my question is, can you see the whole Earth?
Unfortunately, we cannot actually see the entire Earth from our vantage point here on the space station, and that's because we are only 250 miles above the Earth. So we can only see a small portion of it. Our friends on the Artemis mission, who recently went all the way to the moon and went around the moon, they were far enough away from the Earth that they could look back and see the entire planet. But for us on the space station, we only see just a small part of it.
Hi, my name is Valentina, and my question is, how do you feel before leaving Earth?
Sorry, can you repeat that one, please?
The question was, how do you feel before leaving Earth?
How do I feel before leaving Earth? That is a very complicated process, I think, for all of us, because everybody feels different levels of excitement and anticipation. I wanted to be an astronaut when I was even younger than you guys. I was 5 years old when I started saying I wanted to be an astronaut, and I said it my entire life. So I was so excited that my dream was coming true. You've worked so hard your entire life, and you've prepared and done all of this training. So you also have this little bit of nervousness trying to make sure that you do everything right, that you know everything, you learned everything you needed to. But for me, I think mostly it was just this absolute excitement that my dream was coming true. And sometimes it was actually quite difficult to believe. Even when I was on the rocket, I had been in simulators so many times before that it just seemed like the same as the simulator. And then I would hear the rocket groan or move a little bit, and I realized that this time I was going to end up in space. So it was incredibly exciting.
Hi, my name is Eliza, and my question is, what are some challenges you faced when becoming an astronaut?
What does it take to become an astronaut, I think, was the question. It's a little bit distorted our comm right now, so sorry, I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing. I'll try to adjust the volume a little bit. But for us to become astronauts, one of the things that we all have in common is that we have a STEM degree, science, technology, engineering, and math. So if you like any of those subjects, you would be very well suited to come work with us at NASA, whether it's up here as an astronaut or it's down on the ground as a flight controller or an engineer or a scientist building things or testing things. We need all kinds of people at NASA. We also need people that are lawyers. We need people that are administrators. We need all types of different people. So even if you don't have a STEM degree and you're interested in NASA, there could be a spot there for you as well.
Hi, my name is Annabelle, and Ibrahim's question is, what kind of noises do you hear on the space station, and how do you get used to them?
Sorry, I didn't catch that question either.
The question was, what kind of noises do you hear on the space station, and how do you get used to them?
What kind of noises do we hear on the space station? Well, the space station is an incredibly noisy place. all around me right now in this module. Maybe that's why I'm having such a difficulty hearing you, because I have so much background noises. There's background noise coming from different fans, from different pieces of hardware all around me, from all the different systems of the International Space Station. There's lots of different machines running. If you think about when you're at home in the kitchen, sometimes you can hear your refrigerator running or different appliances as they're operating, so it's really, really noisy up here. Yesterday, we heard something pretty interesting because our Russian cosmonaut colleagues were doing a spacewalk outside. So when we floated down to their module, we could actually hear them because they were very close to the outside of where we were, and they were, you know, we could hear some banging and clanging around, and that's pretty unusual to hear something from the outside like that.
Hi, my name is Frankie, and my question is, what is your favorite experiment in space?
My favorite experiment in space, there are so many different experiments that we do up here on the International Space Station, and I'll talk about some that I really love doing because I've been doing them for the past week or so, and they are right here in this that you can see in the corner of the view here. This is actually the Life Sciences Glove Box, and it's a special little mini laboratory where you can stick your arms through these armholes in the front, and then you have this little contained laboratory to keep your experiments clean and sterile, and then also to keep the environment safe in case there are any chemicals or anything that we're using. So I was doing some really interesting cell biology experiments, and one of them was looking at different types of cells in your body, mainly ones that are produced in bone marrow, or they're produced in different as part of your blood cells, basically. So they're called megakaryocytes and also platelets. And these types of cells are very, very important in the clotting response for blood. So, you know, when you cut yourself, you stop bleeding eventually because your blood clots. And that's a very important process. But sometimes astronauts actually get clots in their bodies in space, and that can actually be quite harmful. It can lead to things like strokes, and we don't want anything like that to happen up here on the space station. So by studying different types of cell biology experiments like that one, we can learn a lot and how to help astronauts in the future, and a lot of these experiments also have really strong applications to human medical conditions on the ground. So the research that we do up here can literally help patients survive on the ground.
Hi, my name is Henry, and my question is, we know you're growing food, but what is your favorite thing you are growing?
That's a great segue from the previous question, because a lot of our experiments up here, or at least some of them, involve growing things that are actually food items. On my first mission to the International Space Station, we grew Mizuna lettuce, and that was this big leafy lettuce, and we were growing it under two different wavelengths of light, a reddish light and a bluish light. And the best part about that experiment was that at the end of it, we had to harvest the samples, and of course we had to send some back down to the scientists on the ground, but the other part we got to eat, and we got to have a fresh salad, which made me really, really happy because we don't have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables up here. Right now, just in the module that I can see on the other side of the space station here, we are growing alfalfa in the same facility where we grew that lettuce. So two different types that I've witnessed, but we've also grown a lot of other types of vegetables, bok choy, we've grown peppers and tomatoes, some really interesting stuff, and it makes for a great snack, and it's a great way for us to spend our time with something alive and green and growing here on the space station.
Hello, my name is Samson, and my question is, how long is the trip to the International Space Station?
So it actually only takes a little bit over 8 minutes to get to space. Once those engines of your rocket ignite, you are in space and in weightlessness like this in only just over 8 minutes. Then it depends on which vehicle you fly on and how long it takes for you to get to the space station, because you not only have to get to space, you also have to then meet up with the space station at a certain point so that you can dock together. And that's all dictated by where you are when you launch and where the space station is when you launch and where you're going to rendezvous as well. So for me, my first flight was on a Russian Soyuz rocket. In that vehicle, it took us 6 hours to reach the space station. Now, Soyuz missions actually only take about 3 hours, so that's two orbits around the Earth. Pretty fast. For us in the SpaceX Dragon, we actually took a little bit longer, just again based on where the space station was when we launched and where we were, and it took us over 30 hours to get to the space station. So we spent much more time in the vehicle than I did on my previous mission.
Hi, my name is Genesis, and my question is, how do things feel different when you return to Earth?
Everything feels very, very different when you return to Earth from space, and I know that from my previous mission. As you can see, when I'm up here, I can just spin around like I was talking about, and I'm floating all of the time. So my body really starts getting used to that. I can push myself off just very gently and then float back down, and I never put shoes on or walk around. I'm always floating and moving around like this, just with a gentle touch. And when I get back to Earth, I'm going to feel that gravity again. I literally will feel like things are pressing down on me, and it actually takes quite a bit of time for you to start feeling normal again, because your body is just used to having this floating feeling and to being offloaded by gravity. So you're quite tired when you come back. You feel pretty exhausted pretty easily, and I sometimes described it as when you have a bully at the playground that's, you know, pushing you down, putting their hand on your head and pushing you down. That's kind of how it feels when you come back to gravity, because you're literally feeling that weight of gravity. I had a saying when I got back from my first flight, and it was, gravity is overrated.
Hi, my name is Sienna, and my question is, what is in your spacesuit to lay you down on the spacewalk?
Well, that's an interesting question. We don't need anything in our spacesuit to weigh us down, because I think, you know, maybe you're thinking about a balloon. If you let a balloon go and it has helium in it, and so it rises up and it's floating away. Here in space, though, when we're floating, see, if I stop moving, if I lift my legs up, I'm not going to move anywhere. I'm just going to float here in place without moving. And that's the same thing if we're outside in a spacesuit. Basically, us, the space station, the spacesuit, everything is in orbit around the planet, and it is falling continuously back toward Earth, but everything is falling at the same rate. And that's really what weightlessness means. So when we go out in a spacesuit, we don't need anything to weigh us down. We are in the suit, and we are weightless, and so is the suit. And so we can move around freely, just like I'm doing here. We can grab onto a handrail over here, and then we can move over here and grab onto something else. And we don't need anything else inside the spacesuit to help us do that.
Hi, my name is Sophia, and my question is, how and what do you eat and drink in space?
We have a lot of different types of space food up here, and quite a bit of variety, which is really nice when you're up here for 7 months like we will be. We have a whole food lab down at NASA in Houston that's developing new foods all the time. Most of these foods are dehydrated, so they take the water out so that it'll be preserved and they can launch a smaller mass. And then we add the water back to it when we get up here. Some of the other food items, like for example, a piece of grilled chicken, is just launched in this special sealed pouch, and we put it into our food warmer so that we can warm it up. This is how we drink. This is a drink bag, and we fill it full of water from a machine that we can attach this part to, and it has a little needle. We insert our straw, and we just do this, but I'll do a little demonstration for you. It's more fun sometimes to do this instead of drinking out of the straw. I can make bubbles like this, and they can float around, and this is just water. I better get it before it hits something. So that's how we eat and drink in space.
Hi, my name is Tessa. My question is, what is sleeping like on the space station? How do you not float away?
So to sleep on the International Space Station, we each have our little own little area called our crew quarters, and that's our only personal space. And that's most of the time what we're doing if we're in our little crew quarters area is sleeping. We have a sleeping bag that is attached to the wall because in space you don't need to lie down. There is no up or down, so I can put my sleeping bag up here on the ceiling or on the wall or on any surface. Usually people have it attached to the wall because you don't want to float away. You know, because we have a ventilation system up here on the space station, you could get caught in an air current and start floating around, and that might wake you up. So it makes most people feel quite comfortable if you put the sleeping bag on the wall and you get inside, you zip it up, and then you can either just kind of float there like this. I usually wedge myself in a corner a little bit. It feels a little bit more like a bed at home when I'm in that position. But I sleep really well up here, and most people do.
Hi, my name is Donald, and my question is, do you prefer the gravity of Earth or the microgravity of space?
That's an interesting question, and I think I sort of alluded to it earlier when I talked about coming home from my first mission and saying gravity is overrated. I think microgravity is a lot more fun because it turns, I think, us adults more into kids like you, where we have a little bit more lightness. We're a little bit more apt to play, to spin around in circles like I was doing, to play with our food like I was doing with our water. And I think it just makes things a lot more fun when we have that kind of playful spirit. But I will also be happy to go back down to Earth and to have gravity again, because sometimes things are difficult without microgravity when anything can just float away from you if you don't Velcro it or hold it or put it down somewhere. And in the beginning, that really takes you a lot of time to adjust to.
Hi, my name is Gabby, and my question is, if someone is hurt or sick, do you have any type of medicine?
Well, especially since we're up here for very long periods of time, like 7 months like I mentioned, then it is pretty likely that something's going to happen. Somebody's going to, you know, just scrape themselves and need a Band-Aid. Somebody might develop something that they need some medicine for. We really have a lot of screening before we come to space, so we try to prevent any big things, but of course things can happen to any human, even if you're healthy when you get up here. So we're very well prepared up here on the International Space Station. We have a lot of different types of medications that we might need for any scenario that might pop up. We have other types of life-saving equipment if somebody were to have a heart attack or need to have their heart restarted. We have what's called a defibrillator so that we can try to do that. We can give somebody CPR. We have all of these different types of medical equipment and medicines that we're very, very well prepared. If somebody had a very serious medical condition, we would actually just get into the vehicle if that was deemed safe and get home, because then we could be home within a few hours to get them to a hospital scenario if that's needed.
Hi, I'm Carrie Kiker, the Planetarium Manager at the Cradle of Aviation. I want to thank the NASA Downlink staff for all their help and support, the students and teachers for their great questions, and most of all, a thank you to the International Space Station crew for taking the time to talk with us today.
It was certainly my pleasure to be here speaking with you today. I know that you at the museum do so much to inspire. For example, my colleague Jack Hathaway, who's up here right now, remembers going to your museum as a child. He grew up in Connecticut, so he wasn't too far away. And he turned out to be not only an astronaut, but a Navy F-18 pilot. So thank you for inspiring the next generation of scientists, engineers, and explorers. Goodbye.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications. Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Jessica, and WC foot restraints and jumper cables.
Ground 2.
Hey, Jessica, we had a bit of a conversation about the WC foot restraints and wanted to ask you for some data. What is the current condition of the WC foot restraints? We're seeing that a prior expedition feedback reported indicated damage, was asking for a new set. So our question kind of is, Are the currently deployed foot restraints currently damaged? If so, I think we do want to ask for the R&R because based on the feedback. But if not, we think we might not need the R&R. Would love your inputs.
We have not noticed any damage. They seem to be functioning fine. I can go take a closer look and really inspect them, but none of us have noted any damage. So that's why we thought we did not need to replace them.
Copy that, Jessica. We'll take that report and we're good with not performing the maintenance based on that. We'll take a deeper report at some point in the future, though, just to make sure there's no damage, since I think Jack's currently working on it. Second thing I have for you is we're go to have you start the jumper cable teardown early, so your next blue activity, if you like.
Okay, sure thing. I can step into that. Do you guys happen to have an answer, or do you think you'll have an answer today about that 8.0?
Yes, we expect we'll have an answer. We're working on the words right now. Are you coming shortly?
Okay, sounds good. Well, I will step into that E4D jumper in just a couple minutes. Thank you.
Hey, firm. And generally on the 8.0 CTB, the recommendations you were giving were generally on the right track. We're just pulling together the specific guidance for you.
Okay, copy. Yeah, the one thing that I am worried about fitting within the, you know, usually for Dragon, you really have to respect the perfect rectangle, and you can't have anything protruding at all from any of the surfaces, and I'm not sure if that's going to be possible with specifically the pre-tree tank in that new location.
Copy that. Understood.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Station in Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Sophie and ham video troubleshooting.
Sophie's with you on too for NVU.
Hey, Sophie, if you have a moment, we can use some help troubleshooting the ham video. It should take 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm available for you. No worries. Go ahead. I'm ready to copy whatever procedure you have.
Great. Thanks for the help. We just need you to check the USB power cable between the HDMI converter and the MVPS. And you can reference procedure 1.002, ham video installation, figure 13.
The 1.002, ham video, figure 13, the connection between the USB cable and, I didn't write down, but I'll see in the figure. And I'll call you back once I have the figure in front of my eyes.
Affirm, it's between the HDMI converter and the MVPS, and those are in the figure, so hopefully that'll make it easier to understand.
Houston Station on 2 for water transfer.
Andre, Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
I'm ready for step 6.
Copy that. You have our go in step 6 of 2.735.
735, thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack in WHC R&R. At your convenience, we're looking for a status update and want to follow along with you and offer up any support if we can give it. Thanks, man.
Pentaville, Sophie on 2 for HDMI converter and USB cable.
You're on 2, Sophie. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, the power connector on the HDMI converter, so if you look at figure 13, the one on the bottom left of figure 13, this one is broken. And, I mean, when I say broken, the connector went inside the piece of plastic. And so I would have to open this plastic box in order to catch it back and try to attempt to save it. But I'm not even sure it would be successful because this is a piece of kind of cheap plastic.
Wow, that is an excellent report. Thank you so much for taking a look at that. Could we possibly just request some photos so that we can assess on the ground? And then obviously we'll have no further actions for you today regarding the ham video, but the pictures would be greatly appreciated.
Sure, I'll do the pictures right away, and I will let you know on which SSCs they are.
Great, thanks, Toby.
Houston Station on 2 for water transfer.
Andre, Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
Houston, transfer hose disconnected from PWD and system bypass valve back to registration station.
Copy. That's a good configuration. Thank you kindly for the help. Спасибо.
Thank you.
Control station Sophie on 2 for HDMI converter.
With you on 2.
The pictures are on SSC 25. But I'm not sure you'll see it on the pictures. Basically, the power connector went into this black plastic box and is free floating inside, so it's really broken. And if we do have a spare part, I would strongly recommend to attach it with some tape so that this does not happen again.
Copy, and that's good advice and something we're going to consider as we move forward with taking a look at this down the line. And Sophie Huntsville, back with you on 2. We'd ask one more favor of you if you have a moment.
I do.
And could we just have you trace that chain back and disconnect it from the box and temp stow the cable nearby and just let us know where you've stowed it?
You read my mind. I was going to do that, at least put some labeling so that the next R&R is easier.
So you read our minds then. Thank you.
Huntsville from Sophie and 2 for Hempview.
Go ahead, on 2.
So I left this box with the two remaining correct connections attached about 10 inches above the ham video, attached with a Velcro strap, and as well as the HDMI converter cable. So everything is at the same location, just 10 inches above the ham video. It will be easier for the next crew doing the R&R just to have the understanding of these cables set this way. I left them co-located.
Copy all. Thanks for letting us know, and we really appreciate that help.
No worries at all. And you know what? If you have a spare part right now available, I can do it. It was going to take just 5 minutes, and
Happy to be of help on that one.
We don't have that track down right now. We might be able to put something together prior to DTC, but I'm not entirely sure we'll actually be able to make that happen.
All right, no worries. No rush. And we're here to start, so whenever it's a good time for you.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2. No response required. The PWD is back in service. Water fountain's back.
This is Station on 2340 cable.
Hey, Jessica, we're with you on 2340 cable.
Yeah, just a question. So I've taken apart the cable. It actually held together miraculously well. It looks just like it did when we built it, and there was no damage. I wanted to just mention on the pin socket, I did, you know, we did put Kapton tape, you know, around each of the ends to protect them of each other and prevent arcing there, which I'm assuming would be possibly useful for the next use of these. Should I leave that Kapton tape in place on these pin sockets?
Copy, Jessica. Recommend remove the Kapton tape. Additionally, 30 seconds until LOS, and we do have some follow-on words for you, too.
Okay, copy. Station on back with you on 2. You said you had more words?
Hey, Firm. We were just talking about that a little bit more, the Kapton tape. So I think current plan is to, or thoughts from our side is, we could go either way. I think we're thinking at the moment we want to put it back into the original config without the tape, but we do think there is always a chance in the future that we tape them again, but we're thinking for now remove them. Open to thoughts on that one if you have any. Additionally, I want to let you know that we can talk about that stow track step 113 when you're ready. And additionally, the last item I have for you is we wanted to ask, we may need some help with the inox activity on Jack's timeline, but looking for assessment or thoughts there.
Okay, well, to go in order, I would suggest leaving the tape there because it doesn't impact the function of the pin socket whatsoever, but it just protects it if you have adjacent ones. So I can imagine scenarios where you would want it back there, back on, and I cannot imagine a scenario where it would hinder any normal operation of this pin socket. It's kind of a pain to do, and it'll be kind of a pain to take off, so my recommendation would be to leave it, and then if we're really in dire straits and you needed one without caps on, obviously you could remove it for that next activity, but again, I really can't.
We would accept that recommendation.
Okay, that sounds good. So I am basically finished with this activity aside from stowing the cables. I'm not sure where those are going, so I'm not sure how long that's going to take. But I can take the words now for the cargo, and if you also would like me to do that activity on Jack's timeline, that is no problem, because that was the Oxillion one.
Hey, Firm, and that activity would just be on time as scheduled. We're just trying to protect for WHC running a little bit long if needed. All right, and then the stow track step 113 items are as follows. We have four actions requested. First recommendation is concur. Please skip adding the empty 4.0 CTDs in step 113.06. Tracking that could have already been done. Oh, I'm seeing you pull stuff up there.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. Item two was we concur with the plan to reduce packaging on the spaceborne computer. That's step 113.02. Recommend verifying that the bubble wrap is covering all sides, but it's okay if it's from an adjacent item, so like it doesn't need an independent bubble wrap around itself, if that makes sense. Item three, for the pump separator.
That's understood.
Item three, pump separated separator and the TCS supply. So this is 113.04 and 113.05. We can move those around in the bag as needed. If it can't fit without bulging the CTB, though, we do recommend removing the pump separator and temp stowing that in 4.0 CTB, SpaceX return number 2, which is serial 5125 at node 2, deck 2. And, of course, our request for you after all that is to report final config. Note, LOS in about 30 seconds.
Okay, copy all. Yeah, I'm not quite sure the pump separator will fit, but that sounds like a good plan, and I will report back. I did not use those 4.0s yet. Maybe in the new config we might use some of them. I can't imagine all.
Roger, we copy all, and that sounds good to us. Thank you kindly.
Houston, station on 2 4 8.0.
Hey, Jessica, Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
So I did remove one of the sides of the foam, like we mentioned, on the spaceborne computer, and I reassessed it. And unfortunately, it's still too tall to fit below you know, there's the rigid deck of the basement. And so right now it's still a few inches taller than that, so they basically can't fit there. I did notice that ISIS drawer, I think that Jack and Chris packed that for some pretty specific instructions, but it has layers of that thick foam all around it, and then even around the foam, there's air bubble, and also on top of the air bubble, there's also bubble wrap. So that is definitely, you know, several inches thicker than just the drawer alone. I'm not sure what the measurements, how many inches the measurements account for rather than just the hardware, but I think right now either the measurements are off or we're far exceeding the thickness of wrapping material. So I guess if we can rewrap that ISIS drawer, it may just fit and it'll be like a really tight, snug fit. And that is without any of those 4.0s. I never did put any of those in since I didn't think everything was going to fit. So I just need a little more guidance there.
Copy that, Jessica. We will still need a little bit of time for that. We'll let you know when we have more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Jessica Houston back with you on 2 for Auxilium like we talked about a little earlier.
Good.
Hey, Jessica, we would like to move that Auxilium cartridge replace activity to your timeline at 16:45. Please give POIC a call at the start time to coordinate.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Copy, thanks.
Houston Station Jackson 2 for WC. Air hose R&R, step 9.4.
Hey, Jack, we're pulling up step 9.4 with you.
Are we configuring for internal today or integrated with UPA?
Hello, Jack. Please continue to UPA.
Integrated with UPA, moving on to 9.6, thanks.
Good words.
And Civil Station on 2 for Auxilium.
We're with you on 2 for Auxilium. Go ahead.
I was just told to give you a call before stepping into this procedure, so I'm doing that.
Copy. Thank you for giving us a heads up that you're getting started, and we are ready for you.
Okay, sounds good. I'll put it to work. Thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack and PMA-1 IMV cone screen cleaning. Have a couple notes for you.
Houston Station Jack on 2 for Wirth.
You got it. Just want to let you know we have a little bit of time flexibility if needed before we get started with this PMA-1 cone screen cleaning for the IMV. We also have a little bit of safing we're still working on putting in place, so want to let you know we have a little bit of flexibility there. Second, we heard recently to expect a lot of dust to be liberated when you execute this activity, so we do want to recommend a safety goggle and a dust mask. Let us know if you have any questions or go backs.
Copy. I'm still waiting on safing, and you guys recommend goggles and dust masks for the liberated dust.
Hey, firm. And if you're ready to get started, we can put the safing in place now. Otherwise, let us know when you're all set.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
We're putting safety in work. We'll call you when it's ready.
Yes, sir.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for Jack and screen cleaning. Safety is in place. You are go in step 1 of 2.1.305. PMA-1 IMV cone screen cleaning. Let us know if you have any questions.
Go in step 1 of 2.1.305. Thanks.
Station on 2 for storage.
Houston's with you on 2 for stowage. Go ahead.
Just letting you know that we did actually find that 2.0 CCB 4080, so I'll work on those steps and wait for answers on the other one.
Roger that. And with the 8.0, it's going to take us a little bit of time to figure that out. We're thinking best case it might be overnight before we have the full readback for you.
Okay, sounds good. I'll just leave that. I think everything will fit in the 8.0, you know, with it bulging. It just won't fit in the spot, so I'll just leave everything in the 8.0 for now, and I'll just temp sew it in Dragon.
Roger, we concur. We're okay with that. Just please make sure it's strapped down when you do so.
Let's go.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2 PMA-1. IMV cone screen cleaning is complete.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack.
Spin station on 2.
Chris Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, it looks like we're having some issues with KU right now. We have a gray box on the up, but we got a green box on the down. We're in the middle of an OCT exam, and we're just wondering if you guys are they're still getting good down data from us, and in which case, if there's a way we can press through this. And Houston, stage 92, looks like we may have gotten KU fully back.
Copy that, Chris. There was a brief ground issue. It has since been fixed to our knowledge.
Copy. Thanks.
So, station 2PM2 for our head, Roger.
Sophie, we're with you on 2. Go ahead.
The extra picture is from SSC25, and let me know if they are okay for you, and if not, I can take some extra ones.
SSC25, we copy, and we'll take a look and let you know. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Node 60177. Node 6434330. Transceive. Node 558472. Transceive.